listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking, and we're certainly thankful that you have our service tuned in, and we invite you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will make it a blessing to you.
Thank you.
Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the love of God. We're thankful for that love that brought Jesus into this world to be our friend, to be our Savior. And we're thankful that we are able to present His gospel on this broadcast today. And we're thankful for each one in the congregation. We're trusting as the songs and as the preaching word goes forth, the Holy Spirit will make it a blessing to each and to every one. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our subject for today's broadcast, How to Make and Keep Friends. And our text of Scripture is found in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. It is not easy to fully describe who are and what a friend is. The dictionary says, number one, a person whom one knows well and is fond of, close acquaintance. Number two, a person on the same side in a struggle. And number three, a supporter, being helpful, reliable. Now our text says to make someone a friend, you must show yourself friendly. Now the latter part is usually thought of as referring to Christ when it says there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But even so, it is a description of true friendship. In olden times, the friend of a king was a high court official, probably the king's confidential advisor. And we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 7, Also in James chapter 2 and verse 23, that Abraham was called the friend of God. God was one that Abraham knew well. Abraham loved God, and he was faithful to God. He put God first in his life, even above his own precious son. So Abraham proved himself to be a faithful friend indeed, and it's no wonder that the scriptures refer to him as the friend of God. Now, to me, especially in the Old Testament, an example of strong friendship is found in David and Jonathan. I realize that there are things said about these two men that's ungodly and certainly not true, but nevertheless, they were indeed close friends. And Jonathan, although he was the son of Saul and possibly would have been in line to become king someday, he realized and he knew that God had put his hand upon David to be king, and he was not jealous of that fact. Rather, he endeavored to do what he could to protect David from his father when his father endeavored to kill him. And so Jonathan was indeed a friend. Jonathan is one of the most noble heroes of the Old Testament. Although heir to Saul's throne, Jonathan was a constant friend of David. Even when Saul insisted that David was his arch rival and tried to hunt him down to kill him, Jonathan put David ahead of his own interests and literally saved David's life. So he indeed proved to be a faithful friend of David. And David also proved to be a faithful friend of Jonathan's. Even after Jonathan and his brothers and his father were killed in battle, David hunted out a relative, in fact it was a matter of son of Jonathan's, and let him sit at his table and eat his meals at the king's table after David became king. And this man had been dropped by a maid and was crippled. But even so, David proved he was a friend of Jonathan's by taking care and providing for this individual. Now, Proverbs 27 and 6 may not be so easy on our part, or on the part of either one, but the verse says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I do not think this verse is speaking of wounds in the sense of hurting a friend, but in being true to them, in pointing out a fault or a failure. For it goes on to say, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So a true friend will be true to you, even though they may tell you something that you don't appreciate at the moment, but they do it because for your best welfare. And so they are a faithful friend whenever they are true to you. Now, a quote, some people are cool and aloof toward others because they are timid. Others, because they are not open-hearted. Others, because they are selfish and demand that they be shown attention before they will respond. Whatever it is that holds us back, we permit it to cheat us out of many of the best things of life. We cannot blame anyone else for what we lose by holding such an attitude. Our attitude tells people that it does not matter much to us whether there is friendliness, warmth, or kindness in our relations. We tell them by our actions that we had just about as soon they would go their way and let us go our way. And that is a quote. We can be Christ's friend, and that's a wonderful thought and a wonderful truth. We can be Christ's friends. For we read in John chapter 15, verses 13 and 14, where Jesus himself said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Again, that's John 15, verses 13 and 14. So if we want to be a friend of Christ and have him to be a friend of us, then let us live in obedience to his commands. And you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And the Lord will never command us to do anything that is detrimental and harmful to us or to anyone else. Now, there is a difference in friendship and fellowship. Let me repeat that. There is a difference in friendship and fellowship. Fellowship is between two Christians, and friendship is not limited to Christians. And we can have both with Christ, yes? We have him as our friend. What a friend we have in Jesus, all of our sins and griefs to bear. So we can have the friendship of Christ, and we can also have his fellowship. And that is a wonderful thing, and it is a reality to those who know Christ and are doing his bidding and his will. He is your friend, and you are his friend, and you have fellowship with him because you do those things that are pleasing and acceptable in his sight. Now, there is a friend we are not to have. Yes, there is a friend we are not to have. Don't jump to conclusions. Let me read the verse of Scripture. James chapter 4 and verse 4. "You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." James 4 and 4. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to make the unsaved an enemy and we don't have to treat them illly, but it does mean that we are not to follow them, we are not to indulge in the things that they do, we're not to join in with them in their sinful and evil ways. "You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Now, I have a number of quotes before me that I would like to share with you. The importance of friends. A life demands interaction with others. Romans 14 and 7, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." To live fully, we must learn to use things and love people, not love things and use people. Let me repeat that also. To live fully, we must learn to use things and love people, not love things and use people. Friendship doubles our joy and divides our grief. We are in part who we are by the friends with whom we keep company. Proverbs 22:24 tells us, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go." Again, James tells us that we are not to be a friend of the world. For if we are a friend of the world, then we are the enemy of God. And continuing the quote, "What is a friend?" Proverbs 17 and 17. "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." A friend is one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. A friend is one who knows all about you and likes you just the same. A friend is one who knows you as you are, understands where you have been, accepts who you become, and still gently invites you to grow. A friend is someone who understands your past, believes in your future, and accepts you today just the way you are. You can always tell a real friend when you've made a fool of yourself. He doesn't feel you've done a permanent job. The only way to have a friend is to be one. You can make more friends in 2 months, becoming interested in other people, than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you. Now, I have 10 commandments in regard to friendship now, and remember I'm quoting these. Speak to people. There is nothing as nice as a cheerful word of greeting. Smile at people. It takes 72 muscles to frown, but only 14 to smile. Call people by name. The sweetest music to anyone's ears is the sound of their own name. Be friendly and helpful. If you would have friends, be friendly. Be cordial. Speak and act as if everything you do were a real pleasure. Be genuinely interested in people. You can like everyone if you try. Be generous with praise, cautious with criticism. Be considerate of the feelings of others. It will be appreciated. Be thoughtful of the opinions of others. Be alert to give service. What counts most in life is what we do for others. And that's 10 commandments for friendship. And let me continue with these quotes. How to keep a friend. Never take a friendship for granted. Friendship is like money, easier to make than keep. Friendship is like a bank account. You can't continue to draw on it without making deposits. To speak painful truth through loving words is friendship. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Every man should keep a fair-sized cemetery in which to bury the faults of his friends. The treasure of Christian friends. It is best to be with those in time we hope to be with in eternity. A real friend warms you by his presence, trusts you with his secrets, and remembers you in prayer. The transforming power of friendship. As a part of an assignment for a doctoral thesis, a college student went a year with a group of Navajo Indians on a reservation in the Southwest. As he did his research, he lived with one family, sleeping in their hut, eating their food, working with them, and generally living the life of a 20th century Indian. The old grandmother of the family spoke no English at all, yet a very close friendship formed between the two. They spent a great deal of time sharing a friendship that was meaningful to each, yet unexplainable to anyone else. In spite of the language difference, they shared the common language of love and understood each other. Over the months, he learned a few phrases of Navajo, and she picked up a little of the English language. When it was time for him to return to the campus and write his thesis, the tribe held a going-away celebration. It was marked by sadness, since the young man had become close to the whole village, and all would miss him. As he prepared to get up into the pickup truck and leave, the old grandmother came to tell him goodbye. With tears streaming from her eyes, she placed her hands on either side of his face, looked directly into his eyes, and said, "I like me best when I'm with you." Isn't that the way we feel in the presence of Jesus? He brings out the best in us. We learn to see ourselves as worthy and valuable when we are in His presence. The hurts, the cares, the disappointments of our lives are behind us when we look in His eyes and realize the depth of His love. Our self-esteem no longer depends on what we have done or failed to do. It depends only on the value that He places on us. To be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ is to generate in the people the Indian grandmother's simple statement, "I like me best when I'm with you." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing these thoughts with this precious people today. We trust the Holy Spirit will make it a blessing to each one in our congregation. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We do thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you, and we do trust it's proven a blessing to you, and we invite you to write us and let us know. And our mailing address is The Way of Truth, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org, www.wayoftruth.org. On our webpage, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine, and you can also join us in our services. Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11. Our evening service begins at 6. And again, our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for being a part of our congregation, and we invite you to tune in next week when, again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.
Like a sheep that was lost out in the cold, I had wandered from the safety of the fold. Then as darkness filled the sky, the shepherd heard my feeble cry, and in arms of mercy gently lifted me. Now I'm one of the sheep in the shepherd's fold, and I know his voice, so I'll follow where he goes. In green pastures I am led, by the good shepherd I am led. I'm just one of the sheep in the shepherd's fold.
In this camp there's rejoicing night and day, and a stranger's voice these sheep will not obey. There's one shepherd and one fold, and there's peace for the troubled soul. Oh, what joy to be a sheep and shepherd's praise the Lord.
Now I'm one of the sheep and the shepherd's fold, and I know his voice, so I'll follow. I am just one of the sheep and the shepherd.
one.